For January the 22nd, 2021, we talk about Pokemon Sword, Satisfactory, and we ask you about bad lines of video game dialogue. Welcome to Level 357. My name is Cole Ross.
I'm Dennis Furia.
I'm Jella Prendes.
I'm Ben Merkel.
And you are listening to The Level. It's a podcast for people who love video games. Welcome back, Jella.
Thank you.
Yeah, first time having Happy you on New in the new year. Year.
Happy New Year. You're your way out of the maze that we set for you.
I know. Like, I did my little bit of, you know, the streaming, and then, like, after that, I vanished into the night.
Well, what people need to realize about the way the show works is that after every episode, each of us is whisked into our own personal maze, and those of us who get out end up being on the next week's episode.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's amazing.
This time? Oh, God. No.
Starting early. Oh, it's been 1 minute. We've already disappointed Jella.
Well, recently my little video watching group started watching the Digimon cartoon, and they make so many terrible puns and dad jokes all over the place, and it's just like, oh my God, this is terrible. Like, and specifically the English dub of the 1999 Digimon. There is a current, like a newer Digimon that came out, like a remade version of the original or something, but we're not that far yet. We're starting from the beginning.
Yeah.
So you've been doing disappointment desensitization on yourself.
I have been attempting, and guess what? You still got a groan.
Oh man. Well, the Pokemon cartoon was that way as well. Dragon Ball. I think that's just a thing for about kids media. Tend to go for the easy wordplay. I probably made somebody angry by saying Digimon is for kids. I would counter by saying, you know what I mean. Oh man. But other than being disappointed by Digimon, Joel.
Also, I would say anything that ran in like the Saturday morning for kids cartoon slot is justifiably
how dare you
for kids. It can also be fun for adults, but
it's hell out.
Yeah. Back to the maze with ease.
An early mazing for you, Furia. But Jala, other than Digimon disappointment, what you been up to?
Well, Dave moved over here from Arizona, and we celebrated our anniversary. We went out a couple of places. We went to Herman Park, the Japanese Gardens, the McGovern Centennial Gardens, and the Cullen Sculpture Garden. All of this is like in the same locale. This isn't like, oh, we drove all over the damn place.
You didn't walk 16 miles between each locale? Come on.
No, the garden district. Yeah. Anyway, so like all this outdoorsy stuff, because right now it's like 72. Today's high was 72. So
oh, perfect. Yeah,
like it's been some nice weather. It was like 60 something over the weekend and sunny. So, you know, we're already in spring here. There is no such thing as winter.
Right.
So, there's flowers blooming. I took pictures that they're on the internet now. We also went to the Museum of Fine Arts Houston, which has really fantastic COVID guidelines in place. Mm. So they have require you to buy your tickets in advance. They are timed tickets.
Cool.
And 25% capacity in the place. They have, everybody is of course required to have a mask, but also they do temperature check at the door. They've got this cool machine that like, basically it's kind of like the airport scanner, where you just stand in front of it and it's like several feet away from you and it just zings and there's your temperature.
So it's not a person with a Star Trek phaser.
Like getting in your business trying to know.
Yeah.
So it's pretty hands off with that. Like you don't even have to open the door because there's a door person that opens the door for you. So like you don't even have to open the door.
Yeah.
And of course, you know, you're in an art gallery. You're not touching stuff. You know, you're just walking around. And it's, you know, was very easy to navigate around everybody. Also, they had the cafe closed and all of that as well, as you might expect. So like there's very, very little, you know, chance of contracting anything from that. And we were able to stay the heck away from everybody. And a lot of times we were the only people in certain galleries. It's a multiple building place. So, so we had a lot of fun crawling through that. It's been a while since the last time I was there. And of course, Dave had never been there. We also ordered food online for pickup at some local vegan places that I wanted to try. So we had that and then just had a picnic outdoors because it was so pretty. So very nice time. And actually, like, that's the first time I've really, like, gone out.
Yeah.
since beginning of last year before the COVID thing, all this started.
Sounds crazy. Like a tale from a far off land.
I know, doesn't it? It's like, long wow. Time away. It really sounds like that because it is like I haven't gone anywhere. So, but again, like we went outside and we were staying the hell away from everybody else and had our mask on outside while we were walking around. So, we were being very, very cautious and of course had hand sanitizer with us at all times. So,
nice.
But that was fun. Actually going outside and like doing things that I used to do once upon a time that I used to report on this podcast about. Wow, cool. Doing things.
Yeah. Doing things. Not overrated. Well, that's cool. So, yeah.
How about everybody else? What's everybody else been up to since I've been in the maze?
Yeah. Dennis, how's baby? How's family?
Family is good. I was telling before the show that I slept, napped along with baby Barrett just before the show. So I'm good and rested. He continues his rampage of sleep. You never know sleep for how rampage. Long. but no, I had, it's not necessarily the sexiest thing, but I had the trademark for Deck of Wonders officially registered.
Oh, sweet. That takes a long time and is a pain in the ass.
A long freaking time and is a huge pain in the ass. And I highly recommend if you need to do it and you've started an LLC, you can get a tax credit for the money it takes to do that. So having someone do it for me was my solution. Yeah. And went off without a hitch. So I have a pretty thing in a frame now, and I'm expecting to never really have to use it, but I did the thing.
It's good to have.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's fun. Made me feel official.
Yeah.
So now do you get to sue people who use Deck of Wonders against your will?
That is the intent. Like the game is just a pretense for the massive amounts of money I'm going to make.
Yeah, we call this an IP honeypot. Yeah.
Well, really, the idea is that Blizzard in Hearthstone actually has a card that's called Deck of Wonders, which is part of my motivation for getting it. Not to protect myself, but now I'm going to go after the big boys because they have the money. Mm-hmm. And my understanding of trademark law is that's how it works. Is now they owe me.
I heard they skimp on legal fees too, so I think you should be pretty safe with this.
It seems like a good, a nice fat B for the honeypot.
Caught in the bee's web. Yeah. Oh, well, congratulations.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah. Ben, how about you? What's going on?
Oh, I'm doing all right. To tie into Jalad's story of thinking of earlier times, we in work, somebody posted a picture from a year ago with one of our coworkers' birthday, and everyone was standing together, and smiling and stuff without masks on. And,
yeah.
So it's just weird to think about how long ago that was. But yeah, I don't know. I know we always kind of talk about politics, but not directly in this show, but I'm really happy that by tomorrow we'll have a president who will condemn white supremacists. Like, that's a good thing, right?
I agree. You know what? I'm happy that I'm not alone. I was going to go out on a limb tomorrow after the inauguration. I don't think Trump is a very good president.
Yeah. Dude, I think he's got one day left. Everyone's so happy with him.
Give it a chance.
Yeah. He can pull this out.
I think he's actually hurt a lot of people. I'm right there with you. I'll be watching the inauguration tomorrow.
I am 50-50 on whether or not I'm going to take a personal day tomorrow just to enjoy bask in the day. So we'll see.
Yeah, if we can have more celebrating in the streets like when he won, that'd be nice.
You mean protesting?
No, no, no. Remember when he was declared the victor, there were a lot of people out celebrating.
Oh, Trump? People were celebrating Trump?
No, no, no. Biden.
Biden. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I know there's been a lot of people saying to the contrary, but we actually did know for a while that he won.
Yeah. It's, we knew like pretty much right away. Like, yeah.
I mean, there were people shooting off fireworks like in France as well. Like it was a global jubilee when it became evident.
Oh gosh. Yeah. So I'll be having my fingers crossed. I hope nobody gets hurt. We're recording this on Tuesday night.
We got to stop doing this because now the writers upstairs are like, all right, what's the weird third way we can go?
We
can't do another riot in the Capitol. They'll see that coming.
Yeah, my biggest concern is like what's going to happen tomorrow and what people are going to do. So
yeah, I'm worried about state houses and stuff. Like,
I have friends.
It's been pleasantly anemic so far.
Yeah, I have friends in D.C., so it is of concern.
Do they have like a plan for what they're going to do, or are they
stay the hell home?
Yeah,
otherwise, that's about all they got.
Yeah. That seems wise.
Yeah. Yes, stay the hell home. Keep the door locked.
Even if you're not in D.C., stay home.
Yeah.
Yeah. Unless you're going to be going to a place that's protected as the Houston Art Museum, and then do that because you need to be human. You need to feel human.
Every once in a while.
Every once in a while as a treat. Yeah, I don't have too much going on. Dottie's surgery was last week. My kitten. She got a little sick over the weekend, but she's doing good. She's sitting on my desk right now, and I'm petting her, and now she is biting me. Yep. Nope. There. Nope. Yeah, keep going. You'll get bone eventually. Don't worry. So,
no behavioral difference then after the operation.
No, no, no. And now she's back asleep. I'd like to recommend a movie.
Sure.
Ooh.
Yeah. Just came out. You can buy it online now, but it'll be like rentable online, I think, on the 26th. So here eventually, I'd recommend buying it. It's only $15. So, you know, it's about what you spend on a ticket to go see it. It's called Synchronic. Mm-hmm. This is by the probably my favorite currently working directors right now. Moorhead and Benson is the name of it. So two guys. Previously, they made a movie that I really enjoy called The Endless. There they do like horror sci-fi kind of stuff.
You recommended that movie to me.
Yeah, it's great. I love The Endless.
Cult like Survivor.
They do like horror stuff that has kind of a more humane kind of bent to it, kind of a little bit more of like a hopeful kind of view on things a little bit. Which sounds like it doesn't work, but it totally does. But yeah, this new one, it's like, it's about these two, firemen, EMTs who kind of come across a string of really strange incidents, related to a designer drug that seems to be making, people disappear and, making strange stuff, show up in their place. It's really, really good, like super tense. And I don't want to give up like what the twist is, like what the drug is actually doing. But it's like fun and Lovecrafty. And yeah, it's great. Just like everything else they've made. Resolution, Spring, The Endless. It's good stuff. I want to recommend it because I liked it.
Awesome.
Check it out.
Yeah. So. You can just get that. That is my guarantee. You will enjoy this, and if you don't enjoy it, you can punch me straight in the face.
But how can we do that virtually? That doesn't count.
I'll leave a bad review on iTunes. I don't know. Call me inseparable.
Emotional punch in the face.
Yeah, but that's all that's going on here. Just pet my cat. Haven't watched a good movie. Yeah.
That's good times.
Very cool.
Good times. So I think that is our banter. I would like to talk about video games. And to do that, we've got the regular kind of show that we're doing. We have the grind, the multiplayer, and the end boss. And why don't we get started with
the grind?
The grind, where we talk about the games we have been playing over the past period of time or so. Jala, you having been away the longest, I will throw it to you first.
All I have been playing is Pocket Persons.
Pokemon. A lot for people who are unaware.
Pocket Persons. Pokemon Sword. Yes. So I've put in about 130 hours of Pocket Persons time.
Holy shit. Like 130 hours total or 130 hours yes. since?
No, not since the last time okay. I was on the show.
Wow.
No, 130 hours total. I do not remember where I was at before. I think I was around 50 hours, maybe. Uh-huh. But I feel like now, and only now, I can properly broach the subject of all of the various systems in play in this game.
Okay.
It took about 60 hours or so before I really started engaging with some of these systems. Because it's a lot of time just kind of exploring and catching things.
Yeah.
You know?
Also, it's a Nintendo game, and they ramp very slowly.
Yes. So, different systems in play in this game. So, there is weather, and the weather and the time of day when you are playing the game affects what Pocket Persons are out and about. So, if you play at noon, you see different stuff than when you play at 5 p.m. or whenever. Mm-hmm. So, like, that is something that impacts that. There are 23 different types of Pokeballs that have different catch rates for different things.
Holy
like,
shit.
There's a bunch of different ones that all do different things and have different catch rates for different types of Pokemon. There are a bunch of wide open spaces, of course, where you can hunt Pokemon, although the level that you can catch and the level you can control is capped by what gyms you have beaten. So, like, before you do the first gym, I think it's up to level 20 that you can catch, and, like, I think they'll only listen to you until, like, level 30, and then they may or may not listen to you when you tell them to do stuff. Let's see.
In the past, that also impacted trades, too. Like, if somebody tried to trade you a really powerful thing, it would be disobedient.
Ah, okay. I gotcha. I had only really been trading with Dave, who was also playing the game, because he's got Shield. And so he's put in maybe 20 hours less than me, but he spent about the same amount of time in this game. There is a trainer appearance mechanism. Like, you can go to a barbershop and overhaul your character model and to a clothing store to buy different outfits. You have a trainer card, like a trading card, that you can design and trade with other people for an album that you've got. So that's a thing you can collect if you really want to. Your main quest, of course, is to become the champion, but your secondary quest is to help a historian lady in her research of the Darkest Day, or whatever they call it, which is basically a legend about two trainers with legendary Pokemon, which are the ones on the covers.
Okay.
You can fish for water type Pocket Persons with a fishing rod and then fight them out in the wild area. Oh, and the evolution. So, when your pocket people evolve, you can stop them from evolving in the middle of it. Mm-hmm. If you push the B button when they're glowing and it spooks them, and then they just don't do it. You can also... you can actually spook them. I only just learned this. Dave told me, and I'm like, what? And he's like, yeah. And I'm like, really?
That's been a thing since Gen 1. You want to do that. Certain smaller Pokemon, or the earlier forms, have better stat growth than higher level ones. So I'm sorry if I'm like
stepping over
your point
and telling people all the things I was going to report in on. That's fine.
I'm tag teaming.
That's fine. Okay. You can also equip them with an item called an Everstone that also prevents them from evolving. Of course, you want to do this because at lower level, sometimes they will learn moves at a lower level if they are not evolving, if they're not evolved yet. And sometimes they may not even learn that move if you go ahead and let them evolve. So you will miss out on getting some moves. Like baby, there are specifically some that are called baby Pokemon that have exclusive moves like Pichu, Cleffa, Bonsly, Budoo, and a bunch of other ones. Mm-hmm. Some evolutions require items. Either they have to hold it and level up, or hold it and be traded to another trainer. But some of them are really, really ridiculous. Okay, I'm about to tell you some things that just broke me when I was learning about all this
stuff. None of this is discoverable. So, it's all like guides and wiki stuff.
Yes, it is guides and wikis, and somebody told me the thing. Like, it's that kind of level of, like, I've been talking to Desiree and John, who are both listeners and patrons and such of the network, and I've been talking to them about this game because they also have it and have played it. And John just informed me the other day that Synesty, which is a teacup ghost pocket person, has two different forms, a phony one and an antique one. And the phony and the antique one evolve with different items that you get. And you can tell which one you have by pulling it up in the menu and making it animate and then seeing if it has a little blue mark on the bottom. I'm not kidding. This is the thing. And so that exists in the world. And by the way, mine is a phony.
But phony, do you mean like Holden Caulfield, like it's a fake, or is it what?
Like, I don't know if it has different types of like lower stats or something. The antique one is, of course, rarer, but a different item evolves it. I don't know what else the differences are between the phony and the antique one.
Are there still shiny variants of Pokemon?
Yes, are also shiny variants of Pokemon. Also, let me tell you about this one. This one just blew my mind. Okay, so I saw like what the fairy gym has a lady who Gigantamaxes. I'll explain Gigantamaxing later. A Pokemon that turns into a big cake, and I was like, I want that one. And I had the baby basic form, Milcery. Well, to get it to turn into Alcremie, which is the big one that can actually evolve into this huge, fancy-looking thing, you have to get a suite from fighting a guy at a cafe in certain towns, which you can only do once a day, and you might have a chance of getting one of the items needed. And then each one of those different forms that you get from giving it a different suite to hold has seven variants depending upon which way you turn when you spin around out in the wild area and how long you do it and what time of day it is.
Well, that's just a bunch of nonsense pageantry. That's
you have to give the Milcery something, have it as the first Pokemon in your list, and then like walk outside into the wild area and spin around. And if you go clockwise, it does one thing. If you do counterclockwise, if you do it just really quick, or if you do it for 10 seconds, and if it's this time of day or if it's at night, it changes what it looks like. It has different eye colors, different, so I don't know, all kinds of things.
I want to fight nuts. This game.
Yeah,
it sounds like 130 hours is not nearly enough.
60, that's what I'm saying. Like, I have only been saying it's pocket persons. I don't have anything to say because, like, I hadn't even dipped into all of this crap. I was very busy just catching 300 Pokemon. I mean, like, I'm nowhere near done either with all of that. So, but anyway, yeah, this is like the most ridiculous one that I know about. If there's a more ridiculous evolution, somebody please message me and tell me. I want to know about it so I can get mad.
That's just wild to me because even outside of like the arcane magic that you have to do to get a cake monster. Video games, man. even outside of all of that, like a lot of what you're describing is like systems that accrued over generations. So yes. Like the idea of stepping into it, like, you know, or just people, you know, stepping into it and having to learn stuff that people had 20 years to learn.
Yeah.
Like that's a lot.
It is, because Dave has, I don't think he's ever played a Pokemon game before. Like he might've played a little bit of Gen 1. And so he had never played any Pokemon. And he's just like, you should see his face when we find this stuff out. And I'm like, Dave, there's 63 versions of this one Pokemon. Jesus. You know, somebody's got all of them, you know? Wow. But so anyway,
actually, I wonder if that's true. Like how many people have 100%ed with all the special types?
I don't know how many. I'm not about to Google it, but I have so many more things to talk about this game. Let me continue.
You know, I'll Google.
Okay. You have max raid battles where you can play solo with AI partners, online with friends, or online with randos. You start these by finding a Pokemon den, which has a big column of light flowing out of it out in the wild area. When you touch it, you get sucked into a battle with one of your pocket persons and can play with up to three other people. The pocket person that you are fighting is Dynamaxed, which means that it's huge and has higher stats. It has more HP. It has higher attack abilities and so on. And you can catch these Dynamaxed pocket persons at the end of the battle. You have a chance to throw a Pokeball at it and possibly get it. And often they have higher stats and more Dynamax levels in their bar than the ones that you catch outside of the dens. And the more Dynamax levels they have, the more hit points they have when they Dynamax. So you want to have a high Dynamax level.
Do you have to use like a special giant ball or...
No, your ball actually will expand and grow magically to be big, and then it shrinks back down again so you can fit it in your pocket later.
That makes no sense. I am suddenly caring about the ontology of... Sorry. Yes,
no. How this works. No, I'm not. Oh, yeah. Like it's, and they turn into something that's the size of a skyscraper, so it's very big.
Yeah.
And it glows, and it's got like clouds around it and stuff, so it's a big deal. So there is a friendship system with your pocket persons. The more you have them as your first person in the party and the more you play with them while you are camping, the friendlier they are with you. And if you get them to a high friendship level, they will survive attacks that would normally kill them, so you don't feel bad. They deal extra damage. They dodge attacks because you call out, and so it really benefits to do this. Mm-hmm. So camping is a huge subsystem. You can camp on your own, or you can go online and invite other people to your camp, join somebody else's camp, and so on. When you camp, you can play with your pocket people, or if you camp with others, their pocket people. This ups friendship levels and gives experience to your Pokemon. So it's not just like friendship levels. You actually get experience. It also heals your Pokemon. You can also make curry. What heals them is the curry. You have to make curry, and that will heal them. Curry is a whole subset of different factors, of course. And
different
there is a curry dex. Anything you cook it, no matter what it is, it's called curry. It doesn't matter if it's salad. It doesn't matter if it's soup or anything, like a steak, it is a curry. Burger, it's curry.
Anything with sauce technically involves a curry.
Yeah, but this is how this game is operating. Yeah. So you make it with one main ingredient, which you buy from a camping guy, find out in the world. If you are online, you can talk to literally anybody and they will give you items that you can use for your main ingredient. Mm-hmm. You also add berries to that you get from shaking certain trees in the world and collecting the berries. You also can get the berries from different max raid battles as well. And those have a higher chance of being rare. And there are all different types of flavors in the berries, and some are rarer than others. And the rating of your curry, because there's like, I don't know how many levels, 4 or 5 levels of curry ratings, is partly dependent on the combination of berries that you add into the pot. You have to fan the flames, but not too much, or you burn it. And you have to stir it, but not too much, or it splashes out. And you have to look for the little sparkles to appear and keep that tempo specifically. And you also have to add heart, but it's a little shrinking ring. And when it passes through a certain other color of ring, that is the right time and only that time to push the button. Also, there are 3 different sizes of every single curry. And to make the complete curry decks, you have to do it 3 times with different sized pocket persons as your main one in order to complete the curry decks. Are you mad yet?
I think I'm sitting cold. I want to fight this game sometime.
My eyes are crossing. Like, this is, you know, like, it is marketed as a video game for kids, and it has cute characters. Like, but...
Yeah, it's a video game for kids because you got to start it then to be able to finish it in your lifetime.
I mean... Good God, this is basically like more complicated than Dwarf Fortress at this point.
I have so many more things I can say about this video game, including the DLC. I haven't even gotten to the DLC yet. There's a few other short things, and then I can touch on the DLC and then stop.
So wait, Jala, have you talked about shiny Pokemon yet?
No, I have not talked about the shiny Pokemon. I have like one. So
yeah. That's the one that makes me want to fight this game.
Well, okay. You get a bike, which later gets upgraded to be able to ride over water. Don't ask me. You also can use this for the Rotom Rally, which is a short-timed one-person bike race for watts around various explorable wild areas. Watts are one of your types of currency, along with polka dollars, dynamite, Dynamax dynamite ore, and armorite ore, one of those. Anyway, there's like four different types of currencies. There are Pokemon nurseries where you can leave from Pokemon, and they will potentially make eggs together.
Right.
And then you have to walk around with the egg to hatch it to get baby pocket persons, just like, you know,
you said for a chance to make eggs together. I like the idea of going to pick them up and they both have omelets.
The gyms have a gym challenge, which varies by the gym, but also includes fighting a bunch of trainers. And then there's a versus battle against the gym leader. The max raids and the gym battle are the only places that your pocket people can Dynamax. So they have to be at points of power on the world, which are basically those dens. And then like the gyms are put over these Dynamax places or whatever. And that's why you can, but like in regular random battles, you can't just become Hulk and then squash, you know.
Does
I love that. Okay. So you were going to ask a question?
No, I was, but I literally forgot it. I forgot what I was going to ask you. I apologize.
Okay. I shall continue. The two DLCs, the Isle of Armor and the Crown Tundra, used to only be available as post-game content, but they are available at any time nowadays. So Dave and I actually both began exploring them before we finished even the first gym. We went to the Isle of Armor. And we also still have not finished the Champion Cup. If you are wondering where the hell am I in this game, both of us have beaten all of the gyms leading up to the semifinals, but we stopped there to do DLC stuff and look for other pocket persons to catch and try to figure out what the hell's going on with the evolutions and the whatever, everything else. There's also something that I mentioned earlier called Gigantamax, which is the top tier above Dynamax. Only certain Pokemon can do it, I guess because they didn't want to design new forms for everybody. So there's like 20 of them, I think, that can Gigantamax. Sorry.
I could have sworn you used those interchangeably before.
No, they're kind of different.
You'd
they're
like
they're
that, very wouldn't similar. You?
So no, you
we'd all like that.
You can get them by finding them in a max raid. This is very rare. Or by leveling an eligible pocket person's friendship up all the way and then have their Dynamax level capped and then hunt magic mushrooms in the Isle or max mushrooms in the Isle of Armor and finish the quest at the dojo to get them to be made into soup for that pocket person to eat. Yes, all of that has to happen. Gigantamax pocket persons have even more hit points than Dynamax ones, and their moves are boosted to G-Max moves that those are very specific to them, and then like max moves. So like they have superpower attacks and special attacks, and they look different. They look a lot cooler because like Dynamax Pokemon, they are just the large, you know, the supersized version of your original Pokemon. They look the same. The Gigantamax ones, like you should Google and see what those look like. They look pretty baller. Like they look very different from what their original forms are. And they're pretty neat. Like my favorite Pokemon for a while, I forget what I think it's Garbodor is the name of it. It is a giant big mound of trash that is coming out of a trash bag, and it's very funny looking and has these dead eyes, and I love it.
Like said in a different tone of voice, you're describing a monster from a horror game, Jala.
I am. And so this Pokemon, when it Gigantamaxes, it turns into a giant, basically apocalypse. There's like buildings and crashed planes and all kinds of shit hanging out of it.
Wow.
This big mound of it's really cool looking. And again, like the Alcremie Pokemon turns into a big cake, like 9-tier cake with a bunch of stuff going on. It's very neat. So it's worth looking at the Gigantamax versions. They're very cool.
Yeah.
But again, there's like 20 Pokemon that do this. So the Crown Tundra DLC brings in legendary pocket people that you can catch along with legendary Titans, which I have not looked for yet. I have not gotten to that. Dave got one of them, I think. Mm-hmm. There are also beasts and ultra beasts, which are other things you can catch, and I don't know anything about them yet. I've gotten to that yet.
I'm making these exasperated noises. I'm not like angry with you. I'm disappointed with Pokemon because I guess they can't move back, right?
They just keep adding.
They can make Pokemon Go.
Well, they did the Pokemon Let's Go Pikachu or whatever, and like people are like, oh yeah, this is a fun kids toy, and people even got real upset when, oh gosh, Pokemon Sword and Shield, they announced that it wouldn't have a complete Pokedex. Because it would have been 800 monsters or something like that. Good.
Did you know that one of the Gigantamaxable Pokemon is Venusaur? You know who isn't in the list?
Charizard?
Correct.
Oh, man. If there's any reason to be against this game, that's definitely one of them.
Well, Squirtle's not in there either, but who cares about Squirtle?
But Charizard isn't in Sword and Shield, isn't Charizard like the main dude of the Leon?
Yeah, it's his main dude, but
catch him for yourself.
I don't know. I haven't gotten to that part yet.
Oh, I thought you were saying that he wasn't in the Pokédex. I was like, what?
No, I'm saying he can't Gigantamax. He doesn't have a special killer form.
I'm with you.
Yeah. Okay. So there's one more thing I actually want to talk about. It's really cool. Uh-huh. I only briefly started this. It's called a Dynamax Adventure that was released in the Crown Tundra DLC. It's a new type of dungeon and it's very hard. It also levels the playing field, so it doesn't matter how much Pocket Persons you've played, you are at the same level as everybody else. Because you started out, you have the option of selecting one out of four pocket people to borrow from the Dynamax Adventure, like, you know, scientists or whatever that are running this thing.
Okay.
The other people in your party also have to select theirs out of that list of random Pokemon that they offer to you. You vote as a group on which direction to go in the dungeon. There are options that only tell you what is the primary type of the thing that you're going to be facing. Like, there's a fork in the path with normal and electric, and you select if you want to fight a normal or an electric Pokemon, and you don't know what it is, you just go pick one. In the entire dungeon, the whole thing, all of the fights, you can only have four KOs for the entire party.
Okay.
Before you are swept out of that dungeon and you wipe.
Okay.
So you need to save them for the end of the dungeon when you fight a legendary. The whole point of these is to get to the end boss, which is a legendary Pokemon, and then to catch it. So once you beat a Pokemon, you can catch it, and then one of the people in the party can trade their current Pokemon for the new one, so you can swap out along the way, but only one person can do that. You can't have like a whole party of the same one. Mm-hmm. Along the path, there are travelers that will give you power-up accessories, healing items, or offer to swap Pokemon with you. You may also run across berries that heal everybody in the party as well. When you reach that legendary, like I said, you can fight it, and if you win, you can catch it and keep it. And you can only get one of any type of legendary Pokemon. You can't have like a bunch of the same one.
Yeah.
If you lose the battle and you wipe the dungeon, you can opt to go back to the same dungeon to fight the same legendary again. This is advantageous because you can at least select your Pokemon based on the type that you're fighting against. Like the first one I had to fight against was Suicune, which is a water type. Mm-hmm. So I, you know, was trying to pick a Pokemon for myself and swap along the way to prep for fighting that type of a, Pokemon that I'm battling.
Yeah.
So as with max raid battles, you can choose to do this solo with AI partners, but you rarely win that way. You really need to play with randos or with friends, like some humans, because like the AI is not that great.
Yeah, probably not. I managed preservation.
Yeah, I managed to get Suicune with an AI party because it forces you to do it with an AI party. Mm-hmm. But like until you've done it, you know, at least once. But like it was hard, and like we wiped out of the dungeon several times before I finally got the Pokemon. Yeah. So Dave made me real mad because I told him about it, and then he went there and he got like four, and I'm like, "Fuck you!" I'm so, yeah. And then I told Desiree and John, and then you know we were gonna do all of these Dynamax adventures together because there's four of us, right? And then John messages me on Twitter and he's like, "Desiree went and got one extra." And I'm like, "Now you know the betrayal." So it's been causing some dramas. But anyway, it's a very fun and very difficult dungeon, but like because you can't pick, like you can't prime a Pokemon and groom it for this kind of activity, like you're just kind of stuck with whatever they give you, you know, and you have to do your best with what you've got.
Nice. So.
Any questions about all the 50 million systems that I broached and all the things that I haven't even gotten to yet that there's 50 more in the game? I've not, there's so many more hours, guys.
Is it fun still?
Yes, it's fun.
Cool.
It's Pokemon.
Are you still custom naming all your Pokemon?
Not all of them. Sometimes they are not very inspiring, and I'm just like, whatever. I don't care about you. You are ugly.
You're going right to the PC. Yeah.
Yep. Oh. There's also Pokemon jobs. I don't know if I mentioned those before.
All right.
You can send them at the Pokemon Poke Centers. You can send them on jobs. Like they will have job listings and they'll be like, we need fire types to do cooking or whatever. And then like you send them off on the job and, you know, you can select how long you want them gone. And then when they come back, they have experience. And depending upon how well they do, which is based on what their primary type is their primary type, you know, the type that was asked for, or is this, you know, like, did you send a bunch of secondary fire types, for example, or something like that? Or are they completely unrelated types that you just sent out just to get them out of your box? You know, like they will get different amounts of XP, but also the people who offer the jobs will either like you more and offer you better jobs and, you know, more jobs, or they will not and they will give you worse jobs. So
and I take issue with this system because on paper, like it's a great idea. You wind up with all these Pokemon that you're never going to use. Put them to work, literally. The problem is that they show like a 5-minute video every time you send some Pokemon away.
Ooh, no,
it's
no.
Like, it's not 5 minutes. It's not 5 minutes, but it takes like a bit to send them out on jobs and get them back. Because there's a little animation of you waving goodbye to your Pokemon and them walking off the screen. There's a video of them coming back. And then you jump for joy or you give them like, you know, victory, depending upon how excited you are, if there might be confetti, like that kind of thing.
That's, not 5 minutes, but it may not be 5 minutes, but that adds up.
I mean, if it was 5 seconds, it would be too long.
Well, okay. Here's the thing though. A Pokemon battle against one Pokemon probably still takes less time than all of that at the beginning and the end of the job combined. And if you can send, because right now I've got jobs that I can send 30 Pokemon on and they get 75,000 experience by the time they come back.
Holy cow.
That's worth it to me because they jump several levels and like these Pokemon that would not have been usable unless I, you know, sat there and ground every single Pokemon out there in the wild area. Like I don't have to deal with that. That's great. I would love to keep doing these. You know, yes, it's a bunch of boring maintenance and I wish you could skip that little animation, but it's worth doing.
Still worth the investment.
Yeah. I mean, I would load up the game saying I have a half hour to play Pokemon and no kidding.
That's
like probably
Pokemon jobs. Yeah.
Yeah. It probably 10 minutes is to get into
Pokemon
it.
Jobs. Yeah.
If you got to check a full slate and then send or like receive a full slate back and then send out a full slate. Like it is a huge chunk of how much time you usually have to play.
Yeah, they could have done it better, and they probably will in the next game, which will have more systems. But, you know, for what it is, it still has a good payoff for what I'm getting out of it. So I will continue to put them on jobs.
You can
grind them all you want or just ignore them, Dennis. That's your prerogative.
it seems like a sickness that they can't prune the system. prune the systems back. Like you can't cut anything because like anything that they cut will be somebody's favorite thing.
Yeah.
And you can't not add something because then why are you making a new game?
Yeah.
Wow.
It's like Windows operating systems where they're beholden to backwards compatibility.
Technical debt, yeah.
Yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot. And I'm sure the next time that I talk about this game, I will have half an hour to talk about various new systems I haven't caught to yet. So
wow.
That's all. Somebody else talk.
Harrowing.
I like the idea of turning it into like Pokemon Rancher, where it's like you're doing other things with them besides fighting with them.
Like, that'd be cool. Well, you definitely have a lot of different things going on.
give me a Pokemon Stardew Valley where you can put the Pokemon to work on the farm, you know? Anyway, no, I just described literal might.
we just took the ethical concerns in Pokemon from animal fighting to slavery. Going the wrong direction.
I mean, I don't know. Maybe none of the humanoid ones. That's really unsavory. I don't like that one. But
fair enough.
Yeah. I'll do mine because it'll be real quick. Over the weekend, I streamed Carrion, which enjoyed. Again, I got lost toward the beginning. Which was a problem. Like, that is absolutely a problem with that game, that the world is sometimes hard to navigate. It's hard to know what you have already been through and where to go next. Desperately needs a map. Having a Metroidvania game without a map is just baffling to me. But like, when that game hums, it sings, you know, like when you are going and taking out rooms full of scientists and soldiers as your red tentacle goo monster kind of guy. It's fun. It is a good time. So
it seems very fluid once you get into it.
In a lot of ways, there's lots of fluids going around. Yeah.
I was internally groaning. I didn't actually interrupt to groan at you at that juncture.
I appreciate that.
Yeah. Do you guys have any questions about Carrion? I've talked about it before, but no, Ben, you were there and Jolly, you were there on the second night. Mm-hmm.
I just rolled up and I'm like, why is Bull some kind of a goo monster?
Just the way things are. The sooner we move past this.
I like the one sound effect of the machine gun going off because it sounds like something like breaking on a computer and going wrong. So I would look over every time that you're in a room with somebody with that.
Yeah. The other thing I've been playing just for myself because I have some kind of soul sickness. I finished Assassin's Creed 2 and I have begun Assassin's Creed Brotherhood. Just cause you get like out of nostalgia and, you know, I remember liking those games and whatever, I can continue playing them. Assassin's Creed 2 is still real good. Climbing around those cities is a good time, you know, like those kind of more recognizable landmarks to me personally than stuff in the Holy Land. You know, like I probably couldn't like name a building in, Acker, but I can, you know, like, oh, that's Venice. They got water on the streets. How crazy. It's Venice.
All right. Venice is a gimme. Pick another city.
No, but you've got Tuscany. Firenze. Sorry, I'm trying to like they go back and forth between the Italian word and the English word Florence. You got Florence. Yeah, no, just like, oh, I got to climb to the top of Il Duomo. Cool, I'll climb to the top of Il Duomo, buddy. Yeah. And Brotherhood, you're climbing around Rome, so you get to like fight in the Colosseum and stuff. It's like ruins by that point, but still there.
So what I like about this is we're going to get to see in like real time almost like when the series drops off and when you're like not going to play any more Assassin's Creed games.
So like the trick is Hitman 3 comes out as of the time we're recording tomorrow. It comes out on the 20th. So mm-hmm. I'm probably going to shift over to that for a little bit. I don't know how mm-hmm. much further I'm going to go. We'll see if I take a break on it. But like as just I want to like sit down and go to points on a map and look at pretty stuff and do fun fighting, like Assassin's Creed, at least the Ezio games are a pretty good way to do that right now. Do I feel a little guilty that I'm not playing something new? Yeah, a little bit, but also I feel good that I'm playing something for myself. Even if it's not things that I should be playing, either putting off WoF play or not making progress on Phoenix Wright. I'm so sorry, Jal.
Maybe we should stop and have a PSA that remember that you should play games that make you happy here.
Yes. But Assassin's Creed 2, like good characters, good story. A lot of stuff that I thought happened in Assassin's Creed 2 is actually Brotherhood. Brotherhood is when you get like the really good, like oversized villains and stuff. In Assassin's Creed 2, you're mostly killing a bunch of old men in crazy clothes. You know,
back to your roots.
Yeah, yeah. Whereas in, you know, 2, there's, you know, you're fighting the entire Borgia family, and they're basically like Captain Planet villains. So yeah. But yeah, I'm happy to be past the kind of more stilted combat of Assassin's Creed 2 and into the fluid, buttery smooth combat of Assassin's Creed Brotherhood.
Woohoo!
Yeah.
Nice.
Any questions about that?
Mm-mm.
Cool. Let's see. Ben, how about you?
It's gonna be a replay of last week. I've been mainly playing Satisfactory and XCOM. So I'll just give tiny updates about those. XCOM's dope. I'm on the third branch. Like, you have basically like three mission branches you can pick to do in any order. Mm-hmm. So I'm on the last part of that. I don't know how much of it. Dennis can speak to this. Is the game basically split in thirds? Is there anything after the three branches or significant? Or is it like three branches, end boss mission, game over sort of thing?
Right, yeah, there's not a leg after the third branch. There's just an end boss. Although I will say, I learned that depending on the order you play them in, the final mission for each branch will be different, and you'll get different pieces of the story. And I learned that because my version of the story for one of the factions was completely nonsensical. Because I guess the writers were like, well, we'll make this is a cool idea. We ran out of time to write all variations, because I get whatever three to the there's six different ways you could go through that.
Correct.
Yeah. they definitely did not try to write for all six.
I see. Well, I mean, honestly, they shouldn't spend that much development on it anyway. Like, well, whatever. I don't know. But that aside, ending aside of whatever that'll be. The game's really good. I think it's probably maybe a touch too easy, which is a weird thing to say about an XCOM game. So maybe I might play at a harder difficulty next time. But like, I've never had any issues with City Anarchy. I mean, I rushed to get all the security groups up in the nine areas. So I have like that action available to like lower City Anarchy if I need to. For people who don't know, basically, the city looks like a 3x3 grid. There's nine different districts in it, like Old Town or Downtown or New Town, or I don't know what the other ones are. But each one like has a panic meter on it. If anyone maxes out there, then the city panic starts increasing, which is this like meta meter. And there's like ways to mitigate that if that gets out of control. But I've never gotten to the point where that goes out of control. Mm. So I'm coasting on that aspect of it. I have enough people that I can assign. There's like basically like three optional things you can assign people to outside of like the main mission, and you have four people to do it in. And so I've started upgrading so I can assign two people to any given thing, because that's something you need to research. And so I'm basically like unlocking the top tier powers of a lot of my people and kind of rotating them out one at a time. And I almost have that updated for all of my squad, but like the feeling of the game is like the squad that I go in with now is just like everyone feels like mega overpowered, where it's like they have a cool mechanic where after you max out the leveling up of the soldiers, there's a training that they can do to to have like one last power that's like an upgrade to whatever their abilities are. And you can use it once per game. So it's kind of like if you have like three situations in a map, you have to figure out kind of when to pull the trigger on it. Also, there's items that you can unlock that are once per game.
Not once per game, as in once per playthrough, start to finish, once per mission within the game.
Yeah, so it's like there's three encounters per mission, and then, a bunch of missions in the game. So it should be once per mission, excuse me.
It'd be interesting to have a once per game power, though. That'd be hardcore and too good to use territory.
Yeah. And like on top of all this, I don't know if I mentioned it last week or not, but every mission you go on, there's like an ability where you can move somebody up in the order to being next once per mission. So it's basically like it's like juggling all these like meta abilities when you're in encounter, where it's like, all right, I know if I like fire off all of these things, I can dominate and win this encounter, no problem. But I'm trying to like save up and not pull them if I don't have to, and just like try and win this encounter straight up. And then I'll call these things in the last encounter and make sure like I win there or something like that. That said, the boss battle, the one that I did in the second branch, was still like a really tough battle. It was against the a psionic path. And so like you have like a literal boss who has like, I don't know, like two rows of full health bars. And so it's like, I don't want to deal with any of that. So you try and like phase them out a couple of times to not have to deal with them, but you eventually have to fight them. But even that, like I was like completely out of like buffs by round two and I had to go to like another round. And so it's like, it was well balanced because it was very much like a slog to get over the finish line and keep everyone alive and everything like that.
Yeah.
Is that the one where he summons in a big bad as well?
It was a she. It was the Violet psionic.
You know what? I think I did them last.
Okay. Yeah, so maybe it's different. Maybe the characters are different depending on the order you do them in. But I don't think they phase anyone in or anything like
that. No, I'm thinking of a different battle.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah. So I don't know. The game seems really well balanced. The missions are fun. It has a good upgrade system. It feels very much in the same vein as like the original XCOM or with any of the expansions on it.
You mentioned phasing someone out for a turn. Talk about stasis. Have you relied on it as much as I did?
Oh, for sure. Yeah. It's so basically the one of the things you manage is like every person has two actions per their turn. And it's like Dennis has described when he played it. I think I described it before. It kind of pings pong, where it's a person on your team, then this person on their team, person on your team, person on their team, back and forth instead of you doing all your actions at once. So what you're trying to optimize is if there's any way to delay somebody else's turn with one of your action, and then just do a straight up action where you like shoot at someone or kill someone or something like that, then like it really behooves you to do that. And so one move that you get kind of early on that's pretty OP is you can just phase somebody out for one of your actions. It's not a, and then the actions, like some of them are terminal, where it's like once you do the action, you're done. You can't perform an action after that.
Last thing you do that turn.
Yeah. And some of them are, you know, you do them and you can do your other action. And so this is a non-terminal action that phases somebody out for a round, meaning that they don't take an action. You can't target them, but they don't do anything for an entire round. And then, yeah, you can do a secondary action after that. So it's like it's very, very strong, where it's like you just look at so the only balance you have to consider is sometimes you just do it on the biggest person there, independent of what order they are, or sometimes you just do it on whoever the next person is to buy yourself some more time for your next person on your team to take an action and then like kill someone there. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's like a big that's a big factor, and that kind of like shapes a lot of the strategy of the game. If there's ever like a person you're fighting who is like a mind control person who will try and like take one of your teammates, usually like you want to target them over like heavy people because you can't like withstand them taking your team member and putting them on their team. Like that shift of 3 against 5 instead of 4 on 4 is like way too much, and you would get overpowered pretty quickly. There's like other things that'll slow people down too. One of the characters that I'm playing with, and I'm pretty sure you didn't play with them, Dennis, is one where they can switch places with any other character on the map, and if you do it with an enemy, it delays their turn. So it delays it maybe like 3 or 4 spaces.
Yeah, that's like the one character I never used, so it was cool to see them in action.
Yeah, and they're pretty strong. I'm pretty reliant on them. They get another move where they can just shoot like a mind energy blast at someone, and it also delays their turn some. That's a terminal action. The switch places is not. So you have like, so I typically put this person first on the list because they have two actions that slow people down. So you can basically like push people down. So it's like, all right, the first 4 actions will be all my team members, and then it'll be all the other people's team members. And at that point, I'll probably phase someone out, maybe kill someone, and then it's like I can withstand like maybe 1 or 2 of their actions.
Yeah. I thought the big deal about their swap places ability is that the person that you swap into their place will trigger Overwatch fire as if they had moved.
Oh yeah.
And that is a big deal, getting a free shot on someone.
Yeah, and it works optimally if there's your running gunner in this game. Godmother is her name. She unlocks an ability where if somebody ever enters like in a space directly adjacent to her, she gets a free shot on them if she has ammo, and she doesn't have to be an Overwatch or anything like that. And so that's like even better, where it's like if you get the person to change places after being directly next to her, then she'll get a free shot on whoever you switch places with too. So there's some cool like combos that can come together with that. So there's like good interplay between the classes. So that part's good too. Oh yeah, and that guy, his like OP move that he unlocks when you max level him, is he creates a mirror image of himself. It's like a psionic image of himself. He can only do two actions, which are the two that I talked about, switch places and mind blast that slow people down. But it's like, but now you have two characters for the rest of that encounter who can slow people down completely. So it's like you have four actions to slow people down every turn. So it's like you can stun lock out the other team if there's small enough people. So yeah. Anyway, the game's fun. If you like XCOM, you'll like this game. It's I will say overall it's like a little bit simplified version of the XCOM like Enemy Unknown, Enemy Within type stuff. Because like I think the base building in that game is much more expansive and there's a lot more options and like more kind of finicky management than there is in the base kind of system that they have in this game. Mm-hmm. But that's fine. This is like a solid like 20 to 30 hour experience, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I said last time, by having something in a more manageable entry level, like shorter run XCOM, I think it can only be a good thing.
Yeah. It's I think it's tough from their perspective. Like, I don't know how they brand games anymore because it's like, after playing the games, like I know what the difference between the two are, but like just them advertising it as XCOM Chimera Squad, it's like, well, is this an expansion? What does this have to do with the original one?
And even it's the way XCOM that it, Blood Dragon.
And even the way that it fits into the timeline is really weird. Like,
In truth, I haven't been really paying too much attention to the like narrative of the game. Like, there'll be cutscenes and stuff of like with but it's just like, I don't know. It's mostly filler, and I just like, same thing with like the research that you're doing on all the people. Like, you have like little dossiers that you can read into if you want, but I haven't really followed that stuff too closely. It's like, I don't know if I'm playing it correctly or not by doing that, but
it has basically the same amount of story as the main XCOM games. The problem is that this one tries to be like, ooh, our characters are so fun and kooky and you should care about the story. Whereas the other one is like, here's some good one-liners, but you don't have to care.
Yeah. What they try and do is like, whenever you go back to the base in between missions, there will be like dialogue banter, you know what I mean? Which
sounds like StarCraft 2.
It feels a little forced at points, but that's okay. I like the classes a lot though. I do think they did a good job with that. And you mentioned this as a weakness too. One problem too is eventually you kind of narrow in on your core squad, your core four people, and you just send them on missions all the time and they level up, and then there's a couple of people who just stick behind and do stuff at the base and they like don't level up. It's like the it's the Pokemon problem where they and you're giving them jobs to do but they're not leveling up because of it, so it kind of has the same problem as Pokemon with that respect, but all right, I don't have anything else to say. I want to talk about Satisfactory. Any other questions about XCOM?
That was a satisfactory discussion of XCOM.
I'm gonna put a moratorium on those.
So Satisfactory. So I was trying to withhold judgment when we were talking about Pokemon, because from the outside it's like, man, this sounds like a grind. Like, how can this be fun or whatever? But then I think about describing Satisfactory to someone, and I'm like, wow, that cannot sound like a fun game. If I describe it to someone. It's like, well, I build this giant factory, but I need to get power, so I have to hook everything up. But then I need to like build this like times three to be able to produce this resource of plastic. And like, it's like, okay, yeah, whatever.
But it's like it's constant refining.
Yeah, and that's a good use of words. I've gotten to the refiner stage in the past week. So I guess the big difference is, I guess I'm on, I don't know how many levels are available to you. I don't know if the seventh level is available to you, or after you get to it, the early access stops. But I'm on the either second to last or highest like tech tree part that you can produce. So I'm still playing with my friend from Cincinnati, and this has proven to be like a really good, really fun co-op game. Just because like it's so much fun to work with somebody else, because you get way more done and you can like coordinate and have teamwork and stuff like that. And you just feel much more productive than like, it kind of dissuades you from like, I started a solo one on a second map, but I haven't really gone back to it as much, because it's like, well, I can play this, but it'll take me like twice as long, and I'd rather just play with a buddy whenever we both have the free time. So I like that. In the past week, I also introduced it to one of my friends in Vegas, who is like, he's like one of the best board game players I know, and so he's like really, really good at max minning things. And so I checked his factory like halfway through the week, and it was like imperial level precision of everything, with like zero wasted resources, everything going into storage if it's needed, like very optimal, like things being piped in from across the map, but very cleanly so. So that was like cool to see like somebody do that. Whereas like with our game, we've had like other people jump in and out besides me and the main person that I play with, but it's like conveyor belt spaghetti. It's like, it's like, all right, we need this to go over here. All right, throw a splitter on it and then like make a conveyor belt work and get it there. And like, whatever.
We'll clean it up later.
They won't clean it up later.
We don't even say that. Yeah, we don't even say that. Like at one point, something was so cramped that I had to like send a vent out and like loop it back around and send it in at a different angle instead, because I couldn't like directly connect it, even though it was like close, to be able to like fit a box in and wedge it. It was like very like dirty solutions and stuff like that. The other bottleneck we started to hit was we made a base two essentially. So we got to a point where you need to start getting oil. Like there's basically a fluid mechanic in the game. That's kind of independent of the kind of mining resources mechanic of the game. So when we got to that point, we're just like, all right, fuck it. We're going to make a new base. We'll start it over on where the fluid is, which is like, you know, 2000 meters away from our first base. So we did that. That has its own independent power structure to it. So we set that up, and that's good because our base one like started tripping power lines. It started failing power-wise. And the problem is, we decided early on to put everything on the same line because it's like, oh, this is easy. We don't have to like feed separate like generators and like manage things separately. It's all on one, simple, great. But now it's really bad because it's like, oh, everything is down. Not just like one thing is down. Everything is down.
Did you know it could degrade at the time you built it?
No. Wait, what do you mean by that?
Well, did you know there was a chance that it would fail and go down when you built it?
We were very optimistic in our planning. We didn't consider such things like this. And so the problem, though, is like the power that you need to turn on needs power itself to turn on. So you have to go through this weird process of like either disconnecting some parts of your power plant. You have to build like manual generators again, like connected to the actual
like a starter motor that you just like put biomass into.
Yeah exactly. And then you have to, and it, the main power that we have, it feeds off of water and coal, and so once you have those inputs set up, those both are perpetual, and so like you don't need to like manually run anything after those are set up. But yeah, to get this set up when you're in a no power state, you have to start, you know, doing stuff like manual generators. And so it was so annoying. And like, and then we would, you know, so we'd get it to an okay state. We'd build like one more coal generator, but then we would build like one more assembler and it would trip again. And so it was such a headache. So we ended up at the end of, I think last night, we ended up connecting our base one and our base two, because our base two, we figured out like it's oil based. So we have, we're pumping oil out of the ground. We're refining it into plastic with a byproduct of fuel, or a byproduct of, like, I forget what it is. It's like solid gas or something like that, or waste gas. And then you can refine that further into fuel, which you can burn into electricity. All this to say is we have an abundance of electricity at base two. So we just connected the two and split the difference sort of. Yeah. So hopefully we shouldn't have any trips soon. So we're producing like plastic and rubber and, near infinite supply now, and figured out kind of the fluid mechanics there. We're producing computers, and all this is to say eventually what you do with this is you can build jetpacks, which sounds sweet, and you can build trains to ship your resources around, which also sounds sweet. So that's kind of what we're building towards. In my friend's game, I convinced him to build a space station on top of this really high mountain that was really far away, and just built a a steel like ramp going up to it. So it's like it looks very Egyptian, I guess, in how like grand it looks.
It's like a ziggurat.
So I think that's like kind of what we want to do with our train lines too, is just build like ramps that go up into the sky really high and just build the train there and just conveyor belt things up to it. Yeah, but the game is a lot of fun. It's basically like it's similar gameplay to like maybe like Minecraft or Legos and stuff like that, where you're kind of like building a toy that functionally works together.
Scratched a real Minecraft kind of itch for me.
Yeah. So yeah, I'm really enjoying it. It's I'm still surprised that it's like early access. Like, it feels like a pretty polished game. I think one thing we set up, I forgot to mention, is we set up tubes. You can make like vacuum tubes to travel between parts. So that's something we did early on, was made a vacuum tube from our base one to base two. So you could just kind of like, I don't know, science fiction-y float your way over there really quickly.
Futurama style, shoop.
Yeah, exactly. A fun thing that happened is one of my friends, while we were at base one, deconstructed part of the tube and then reconstructed it. So just pointed off a cliff.
He roller coaster tycooned you. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. I was the next person who came through. I didn't realize that you can backtrack when you're in the tube, so I went right out over the cliff, which is a sad day. But your supplies are just in a crate right next to where you fall off, so it wasn't a huge loss or anything. But yeah, and I think the other thing that we realized too is the stuff that you mine and the oil that you get, all the sources have like a purity to it. So it's like unpure, pure, and I think there's a third one.
Oh, geez, shiny.
Yeah, it's like it's that, more... but it's like... No, yeah, it's like sorry. A three tier scale. It's not like 1 in 100. It's this, and the map I found out in the past week is bespoke too. Because when I was playing in my friend's map, I found where our base location was, and it's like the exact same layout, exact same resources, and the exact same places.
Yeah.
Which I'm fine with that, because then you can actually like max min if you want to, and like make like the perfect setup, which I think would be fun. You know. Because you can find like where all the pure deposits are and like make everything like optimal and the least amount of work. So
It kills me that you say it max min.
Why?
I've always heard it min max.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. I like, you know, I say it kills me. I don't have a problem. Say however you're used to it. But for me, min always comes before max.
That's a good point. I guess if you order by like number, then it's that way. If you order it alphabetically, Maxman.
Oh yeah, maybe. Yeah. No,
I'm a very like English based person and not numerically based at all.
So that's why I like Maxman. You're min-maxing your min-max.
Yeah, I don't know how to say
it. Or maxmining your maxman? Oh, I can't even say it. No, it's
nope,
wrong.
Nope.
No.
You're broken.
We're both sorting our max min, but we're using a different comparer.
By different criteria. No, when you said there were different maps, I was really intrigued, but then I saw somebody else talking about it. Apparently it's different starting positions on the same like hand design map, which makes sense because they're huge.
There's four different maps though that you can pick at the beginning, but you're saying that those are different starting points on
I think that those are four different starting points.
Oh, I'm surprised by that. Then there's a lot of biomes I haven't seen yet then. Mm-hmm. I guess interesting. Okay, cool.
Yeah,
well that's good to know then. Yeah, wow. Because the two different roles that I've centered on have looked like nothing alike. So that's good to know. Cool. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and you definitely have at least one more tier to go, maybe two. Okay. Because like by the time I stopped playing, they had added like geothermal.
Don't tell me.
I'm sorry. Sorry, didn't mean to say
I'll
that.
I'll find out. Okay, I'll find out in the next week.
You have more to go. You likely have more to go. I didn't mean to ruin it. I apologize.
You're good.
Yeah. Man, you're really making me want to play this game. But
if you want to start a world, dude, let me know.
Shit, man, that's dangerous. I'll let you know if I'm going to take you up on that. I've got other stuff to do.
Right. But, I know.
Like play Ace Attorney.
Yeah, I do.
Aforementioned PSA, play the games that make you happy.
Yeah. Like Satisfactory. Man, that's a good game.
Mm-hmm. Nice. That's all I got.
Cool.
Two games that are making me happy.
Neat. And Dennis, how about you?
Yeah, I also have two games that are making me happy.
Okay.
I'm continuing. Trackmania. Yeah, continuing to play a lot of Trackmania. I've discovered RPG Tracks.
What?
Which are named after role-playing games, not rocket-propelled grenades. Okay. These are basically take Trackmania and turn it into a trials game. If you guys are familiar with like the bike.
Yeah, those are fun. Yeah.
Insane balancing and like how do I wobble my way across this set of barrels without crashing? It's that and it's long. So I discovered it by watching Twitch. The person I was watching was upwards of 5 hours completing a map.
What?
So RPG in terms of length, yeah, 5 hours. The world record time for the map, so someone who's really booking it, was 1.5 hours plus.
So you have found the hard mode of the game now, right?
I guess. And it's like it is not speed focused. It is very, like I said, trials focused, and like how, you know, a bunch of shapes jumbled together, and you got to figure out how to get your car to flip over them in just the right way. So, you know, combining that with the speedrun community is just nerd sniping in the worst way.
Yeah.
It was a spectacle to behold. I will try one if I, well, excuse me, I did try one, could not get off the first platform after about 5 minutes, and then had to go do something else. So I've dipped my toe. I don't know if I'll dip again, but I'm going to make sure I got a good chunk of evening to lose if I ever do. So that's the new thing I've done in Trackmania. And then I had a credit for Stadia, just to pick up a game, $10 or less, that I had to spend before the end of the year. And I finally got around to playing the game I picked up, which was Doom, like 2016.
Oh, sweet. Yeah.
Hell yeah.
That game rules.
Yeah. So I remember I played this on, I guess, PS3 or PS4. I can't remember which console it came out on.
PS4. Yeah.
And it might have even been a PS Plus game. I'm not sure. Somehow I got my hands on it on PS4 and I bounced off of it. It didn't click with me, and I can now say with confidence that I think it was a controller versus mouse and keyboard thing. Just as zippy as the movement is, and as twitchy as the shooting is, trying to make something like that run on a console controller is just fundamentally changing the experience. Mm-hmm. And I've quite enjoyed it on mouse and keyboard playing through Stadia. So a brief comment on the platform, like I've had one time where the image got noticeably lower quality, and otherwise it's been smooth as butter.
Mm-hmm. So wow, that's surprising. I mean, I was going to say, like, this twitchy action game with a lot of stuff happening on the screen seems like it would be a real test of the streaming, and I know it's cool to hear that it's working pretty well, because that would if it was going to fail, it'd be that game probably.
Yeah, I was surprised myself. And at the very beginning, there are, I think it's imps, are these little demons that kind of, you know, hop around like crazy and throw fireballs at you. And in the beginning, I was like, oh man, this Stadia lag is really just, you know, making this suck for me. Mm-hmm. And then I realized, no, it's just I suck. I need to get better at aiming. And as I learned their movements better, I got, you know, to the point where I didn't have to think about whether or not lag was the case. Mm-hmm. So it was all human error, any disconnects from bullets to heads that were happening. And so I've been very pleasantly surprised on that front. And the game just feels good to play. Mm-hmm. And I think we've talked about Doom in its various iterations before on the show. And it basically, it feels like, you know, free running or parkour, where you set your targets by shooting them. Because basically, you know, you just want to get to whoever you've staggered so you can do a cool melee finisher on them. And then off to the next thing. And, you know, as you're hopping around there, you're like, oh, well, you know, I'm going past this guy anyway. I guess I'll shoot him with a shotgun and soften him up for the next time I'm going through. And, you know, bounce off of this wall, hop up this ledge, you know, do a cool melee finisher on this guy, and then hop back down to the guy I shot before, finish him off. And it's just got an amazing sense of flow to it, which is really enjoyable. The one thing that holds it back is the platforming sections. There's some, the double jump in this game just doesn't feel good like it should, like everything else in the game does. Like it is the one thing that lets down everything else.
There's some bits specifically in Hell that get to be a little bit much, especially if they have you fighting Kako demons, kind of the big beholder eye looking things.
Yeah. And it's, I think the one I'm thinking of is climbing up the reactor to get to where the lady opens the portal. And so I'm just at the point where you're crossing over into Hell, I guess. And even that, it was the first like real platforming centric section, just sucked. Like lots of long falls waiting to die and respawn. Which thankfully doesn't take much time because it's on a fast computer, which is cool. Yeah. But I think there's one section of that where it just throws like three or four imps at you just to like shake things up. And I was like, oh, thank God. God, I get to shoot someone. And then it was back to the climbing.
Yeah.
If it's any silver lining, when you said bad platforming, I thought of that exact level. So I think it's better from there on out for the rest of the game. But
yeah, it's just it's not what the game is meant to do. And when you're in the middle of combat, it's perfectly serviceable towards the flow that the game does so well. But when it gets to center stage, it just falls down pretty hard. Yeah. Literally falls down pretty hard. yeah. So the one other thought I had is it's just the game really has a sense of humor. I think that's always been the case, but I was surprised at how cartoony and funny the demon designs went. And it was almost like the more dangerous the demon, the more goofy the design, which was just a really interesting choice. Or either that, or they were going for spooky and scary and kind of missed the mark.
No, it's supposed to be kind of over the top and goofy. I mean, like they just, you know, look at the Kakko demon again to bring that up. Classic design, but they make them all like, especially the way it animates. Well, and also like it has to be funny the way that you tear them apart, and there has to be like lots of different ways you can do it, so you like making their anatomy like cartoonish makes that easier. Yeah
Well, you know, I think of Halo, where the grunts were definitely kind of comedic looking, and then the more dangerous the enemies got, the more serious they looked. This is almost the inverse, where the grunts are you know, bland but still serious. I don't know if that's the right word. Zombie, kind of shambling mooks. And then the imps are, you know, alien looking demons. And then from there it just gets sillier and sillier. So, I approve of this choice. It makes a fun game even a little bit more fun.
Nice.
Yeah. So those have been, my two games for this week.
Very good. Yeah. Dune 2016 is great. I need to, I have left off in Doom Eternal at like roughly the same spot two times, mostly because I've been distracted by other things.
The question in my mind is like, what could Doom Eternal be doing better that I would need to pay, you know, the most recent game price to get? Is it just more Doom? Like even the sword that they give you, it's like, well, I've got a chainsaw. How is a sword an upgrade?
Doom Eternal's on Game Pass.
Oh, I don't have that.
Oh, okay. Wah, wah. It's a, yeah, but that would be a way to get it.
That's kind of the same opinion I had though, Dennis, is like, I'm sure it's a fun game to play, but it's like, I don't see what it has beyond. That's kind of the same thing with XCOM. It's like, I didn't see what it had beyond the game that I already played. So it's like, sick
of that. Well, that sounds like a segment to me.
Multiplayer.
Now it is time for the multiplayer, where we ask you a question and then you answer it. Jala, what is the question that you asked the nice people?
I asked, what is the worst line of game dialogue, either intentionally written or via localization?
And I will take us here first with Mike, who says, I should be the one to fill your dark soul with light, from Devil May Cry. That is a very embarrassing line. Is he talking to Trish when he says that? I think might be talking to Trish when he says that. I'm probably the person who has played Devil May Cry the most recently.
Acceptable person. No acceptable person to be saying that to.
Yes, it's not. It's not a thing one ought to say. Let's see here, Ben. What does Patrick say?
Patrick says, "You are almost a Jill sandwich, Barry Resident Evil." I don't know what is worse, the line or the delivery.
I mean, it's the delivery. Because they used it in the remake and it's fine there. And also, I never really understood why people thought that line was bad. Maybe I'm an alien here. Like, Barry is supposed to be like a dumb uncle kind of guy. Like, he's hapless. he's a figure of fun. He's a clown to me.
He's there for your amusement, Cole.
Yeah. Dennis, what does Ollie say?
Ollie says, there are lots to choose from, but the original Resident Evil, I don't think anything can beat. Jill, here's a lockpick. It might come in handy if you, the master of unlocking, take it with you.
That one's very bad, because I am a master of unlocking as long as I'm on the side of the door where you can unlock it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So yes, that one I will go with the crowd on that one. Jala, what does Gwen say?
Gwen says, it's Jarek falling to his death that really kills me. And it's from Mortal Kombat 4. There is a link to a YouTube video, which everybody needs to see, because boy, there's just like so many different things that are happening, and it's all horribly voiced.
It's over, Jarek. Shinnok is dead. The good guys won. You're coming back with me.
Never, Sonya. I agreed to help defeat Shinnok, not turn myself into the special forces. The Black Dragon live on.
The Black Dragon died with Kano. You're the last one, Jarek.
Never!
And then horribly animated, mm-hmm. voiced. It's just very bad, like all of it.
it is so bad, it is elevated into an art of its own.
It is definitely its own special thing.
You
must witness it.
Just go and watch a medley of all of the Mortal Kombat 4 endings, because they're ridiculous.
I don't know if I could handle it.
to do it in spurts, you know, take breaks if you need breaks. To. Greg says, many NES games had translation issues, but the worst I ever saw was Zanak. Wow, that is really close to Xanax. Was Xanax a fun but hard overhead shooter? Not only was the manual rife with errors, but the title screen itself, game design, has game descended by on it. Of course, my parents saw that and used it as proof that video games are bad for me, etc. Let's see. Ben, what does Tom say?
Tom says, if Cole doesn't bring up the "now I understand" bit from Eternal Ring, it's up there. Also, I say that wizard came from the moon at least once every D&D session. However, the thing that I can't get out of my head is when a friend pointed out to me that the opening text crawl of Mass Effect 1 is just the opening from Top Gun with the nouns change. I can't unlearn this fact.
Is it really? I need to do a comparison on that.
My mind has just melted.
the "now I understand" line from Eternal Ring, the last boss of that game is an immortal baby created by magicians in order to be a god, but he doesn't understand death or that other people feel pain, and through the course of the ending, somebody that he cares about dies, and like he starts the sentence as a little kid, "Now I understand. Now I know it. This is," and then it slides down, "this is death." And by the end of the sentence, he's a big guy because he grew up. Yeah. Just to give a little bit of a, it's a weird game. Not very good. Let's see. Dennis, what does Sam say?
Sam says, any of the voice acting in Mega Man 8 works, but here's the cutscene that generally gets quoted.
What do you make of these?
These? Seems to be energy resources. But I've never seen this type on Earth. I don't know where this energy came from, but cannot let it fall into Dr. Wowie's hands. You must recover all the energy immediately, Mega Man.
But where is Dr. Wily?
That's a good question. We may be able to locate another energy emission from the radar room. When we find that meteor, we'll find Dr. Wily.
This looks like it's from a Mega Man. Were Mega Man cutscenes like cartoon?
In this one, it was. Yeah, like in the PlayStation era, they had animated anime cutscenes. They don't look terrible. No. It's just, you know, animated, or it's just voice acted really poorly.
So poorly that there's literally a in it.
Just left in there. Yeah, you cut it, go with it. Let's see here. Jala, what does Sean say?
Sean says, I always quite liked in Metal Gear Solid 3 Snake Eater just how much Snake enjoys being in a cardboard box when he says, it was my destiny to be here. In the box.
I mean, that's great. It's like a space ghost line. Yeah, no, there's nothing wrong with that.
I think I want to jump in with mine because I'm also doing Hideo Kojima. And my answer is just Hideo Kojima writ large, but Death Stranding, some of the lines in this, it's like, it's not bad dialogue, it's dad dialogue, where it's like
a Princess Beach thing. Yeah.
Yeah. And then when Fragile says, "I'm fragile, but I'm not that fragile." It's just like,
no.
I think she says it at least two times in the game. And it's like,
yeah. No, it didn't work the first time. Like, you're an interesting character. Like all those characters have fun hooks to them, but yeah, they say dumb shit.
I'm not upset with her as a character. I'm upset with that they named the character that just so they could have that line.
Maybe. Yeah. Oh man, oh man. Let's see. This will be me, won't it? Let's see here. Rookie says, okay, this is from Battletoads on the NES. "So, you managed to avoid my traps, huh? Well, it takes a booby to beat a booby, I always say." For context, this line comes from a dominatrix with improbable decolletage. I doubt this is a translation error because it's an attempt at a triple entendre. The line is evidence that 1, Rare needs to hire more female writers, or 2, the Dark Queen actually has 2 Ghastlies on her chest.
It takes decolletage to beat a decolletage, I would say.
More like Astley. Astley. No, that's not a thing. That's nothing. And then round us out here, Ben, what does Tim say?
Tim says, "Your right hand comes off."
See, that's not Leon. That's not a bad line. That's like intent. That's Leon being hammy. Yeah.
Tim clarified that it should be written differently. The "your" in the writing on the screen is incorrect.
Oh, you are right. There we go. Okay, cool. Thank you, Tim. I can't separate it from the voice delivery. Okay, cool. No, I have no problem with you, Tim.
My quarrel is not with you, good sir.
this is hard, is what it is, because there's a lot. I think that, I mean, just going around and looking, gosh, this is it's really hard to beat for me. I like shorts. They're fun and comfortable to wear. Line from Pokemon, like that. I mean, that's pretty infamous. But like, you're scratching the bottom of the barrel if you're talking about how fun shorts are to wear in your video game. It seems to me, yeah. I can't even, like, I'm wearing pajama shorts right now. I'm just wearing, you know, like basketball shorts for kicking around in. And when I put them on, I thought, yeah, they're cool and fun to wear. Yeah.
Video game dialogue should be better than my thoughts.
No. Okay. Well, no, I thought that because of video games. No, the actual line. Sorry. "I like shorts. They're comfy and easy to wear." Yeah. Mm-hmm. So anyway, that's mine. Ben, how about you?
I did the Death Stranding one.
Oh, you did? Okay. Do you want to do that again? No, you don't have to. Sorry, I'm a dummy.
I'm like Hideo Kojima. I'm not going to repeat myself for a second time.
Dennis, how about you?
Yeah, I had one I saw going around was "You Spoony Bard," and I'm going to go to bat for that one as actually good.
That is an
excellent
one.
Yeah. Excellent use of the word "spoony." For my worst, I'm going to say the "all your baseline," specifically because of the meme that it caused that you cannot escape from, or could not escape from, in high school through college for us.
That song's good.
And now I need an "all your baseline" remix, okay? Because the way you said it is "all your baseline" is how it sounded, not bass.
Yeah, drop that. So,
"all your baseline." Yeah.
And Jala, how about you?
So mine is gonna be pretty predictable. "I'm gonna butter up my pooper with it real good." Corpse Party. That's a translation thing.
Yeah, you posted an article about that, didn't you? Yes, or you shared it with me.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes, I shared it in the backstage for everybody. The original was, "Thanks. Okay, I'm gonna go apply a bunch real quick." She still needed the ass cream, but she didn't say she was going to butter up her pooper with it real good. That was somebody decided to have some real fun with it when they were translating, and like embellishment. That's what came out.
And like the that's the character whose like entire thing is that she's just like really ribald and she is hitting on her classmate. That's a good establishing. It's a dumb line. It's dumb and bad.
And Jala, when I saw the question, I immediately thought of that line. I was like, nah, Jala's gonna take it. So
I hope that YouTube hasn't pulled that video down, because I'm sure my reaction to that when I streamed it was fucking choice.
Oh, there were people who were waiting for you to get to that line. I think I was one of those people who was just like waiting to see what you were doing. But
nice. What inspired you to share that or to do that question, Jala? Because this was a good one.
I don't know. I think I might have just been talking to Dave about Corpse Party, and that stupid line came up. And then I was like, I wonder what the real line was. And then I was Googling around and I found that article. And that's where I was like, I need to actually ask that question. I don't know if we've asked that or if we have. It was so long ago that nobody remembers. So it's lost in the annals of time for Gwen to find, because she's listening from the very beginning.
Yeah. Oh, nice.
So slowly getting through all of the years of leveling. So
if you like a coffee table book, like a reasonably priced game to have just hanging around, the person who does the Legends of Localization blog and those books put out a soft cover. It's like 64 page. It's full of screenshots. It is called This Be Book Bad Translation, comma, Video Games, exclamation mark. And it's just these, it's a really pretty book that like has all of like these just infamously bad localizations, like botched translations with like little explanations of like how this possibly happened. It's real cool. Just like to flip through. It's on Fangamer.
Cool.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Neat. Well, thank you, Jala, for putting that up. Thank you, everybody, for responding. If you would like to participate in these, go to facebook.com/thelevelpodcast and watch them to go up on Monday afternoons.
The end boss.
Now it is time for the end boss, where we talk about the things that are happening in the world of video games that are exciting to us. Jala, what are those folks over at Reddit doing?
So there is a 24-year-old software engineer named Micah Price from Cape Town, South Africa, and he made a bot that turns Reddit drama into Ace Attorney, and it's absolutely hilarious. I highly, highly recommend that you look at the video in the article that I linked. You can also find it on YouTube. The bot checks for the most common Redditors in the comment chain. The most common becomes Phoenix, and the second most common becomes Edgeworth. Everybody else becomes a random character from Ace Attorney. Right. It has a neural net that checks the tone of each comment, and if it has a score less than zero, it becomes an objection. And they have an argument, and like the one that they have in that sample is just absolutely hilarious, and it will like upload a video, and it's got bugs and stuff, but it was just really fun and very funny to look at, because to see internet drama turned into Ace Attorney is very funny, because Ace Attorney is goofy to begin with. And part of the reason I wanted to pull this up too and had to talk about it was to just like poke hole about Ace Attorney. But if it does not bring you joy in your soul.
No. So I will say I was stalled on it for a while because I was using my Switch. All of my Switch time was for playing Enter the Gungeon.
I know you had a lot of time you had to sink into that.
So now that is wide open. I'm like in the middle of a manga, and once I get done with the manga, I'll be back on it.
Cool.
Reporting back.
Well, again, no pressure, but I did have to, like, I saw this and it just made me like happy, and I was just like, it brought up a bunch of other goofy Ace Attorney stuff that just made me you know, have giggles for about 10 minutes. And I was just like, I have to, I know this is not really news. This is just something that somebody made that's out there in the world that's weird, but you know,
I mean, like when people hand make these, it's really fun and you know,
really fun.
Yeah, they just either famous court proceedings and stuff like that, fun transcripts or whatever, or even just, you know, based on dumb things that happen. But like this tool to make them, you know, there's a fun amount of like accidental poetry that probably comes up in the way it screws up. It's cool. It's an impressive feat.
This is better than news.
This is pretty great. But I mean, like, especially when you have the sound on, when you listen to the video, I highly recommend you do that. Even if you just, it's not very long. So,
Dennis, what is happening over on the PlayStation 4 camera?
Yeah, as everyone is fawning over the new hardware advance of the PS5, the DualSense, the hardware advance of the PS4, is getting one last swan song. So it was a game that just got released, to the amazement of everyone, including the person who made the game, called Rocket Punch, where, as the name would imply, you fly a rocket-propelled fist into the face of anything and everything. And specifically, you are not controlling this with an analog stick. You're controlling it with the light bar, and PS4 camera. And so you're swinging your controller around like mad, moving this fist on the screen. The game was very much a lark. You know, as much of a shitpost as you can have on the PS store. And even, like I said, the creator was surprised that it went through. Especially this late in kind of the relevancy of the PS4 camera. And it kind of got me thinking, like I said, everyone's fawning about the DualSense and the new kind of super triggers or whatever you want to say. And I understand they're doing some cool things. But every other technological or hardware advance, has been jettisoned pretty quickly, with console generations. And I'm kind of waiting with bated breath to just never see another game that uses the DualSense in a meaningful way.
Yeah. Those, jettisoned is a good word for it. It is rare that they stick around past year two.
So yeah, it's not complete shovelware. Like, there is some thought put into it where, apparently the game kind of will capture moments that it knows you're going to be in a particularly awkward pose and then show it to you later on. So I like that idea. And that's fun. But yeah, it's a good little reminder not to get too worked up about the newest hardware thing. And, that, you know, good games are always going to triumph, regardless of the little hardware shenanigans that they throw. It also made me think of playing, is it Infamous? What was the Sucker Punch game that set off the PS3?
Really Infamous, yeah.
Second Son, yeah, Infamous Second Son. That was it. That was their big killer app. And I remember specifically in that you turned your controller sideways in your hand with your thumb on the L2 button to use it as a spray paint can.
No,
with its motion control. Yeah, we temporarily lose our minds with each new console generation, it would seem.
That's one of those things where, like, you know, I'm playing my PS5 a little bit more than my Xbox Series X. It's wild that Microsoft isn't even trying with any of that. They're just like, hey, here's a competent box and it'll run games that are put on it. Like, I think that they got so... I think maybe they're so trigger shy after Xbox One, it relied so much on the Kinect and it was a problem for them. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. What was the kid game? Yeah. They burnt themselves so hard with it.
Yeah.
It was a Peter Molyneux joint, I think.
Oh, Milo. Yeah. That was a tech demo. Yeah.
It's like where you see a dog or something like that, you interact with it.
Yeah. It's like you just, hi, here's a 10-year-old boy that you can talk to and he'll respond to you. Yeah.
We'll have to ask Gwen for the answer for that one if she's going through the level backlog.
Guys, I'm about to freak out because I wanted to say the kid's name is Milo, and if that was subliminally put into my mind, I'm going to use it. we need to find this game and confirm that it was...
I am so sorry, Dennis.
Don't worry. Wow. You're not the first person who tricked.
Incepted Molyneux.
Oh, I'm not sure. Oh, is this worse than Milo Yiannopoulos being a thing? Oh, shit.
I mean, it's a name from it's a name.
No, I'm goofing. That's hilarious. That is hilarious.
I'll do my story real quick. This is, hey, Dottie. Hey, that's my notebook, honey.
It's a weird story.
You're just going to walk on it? Okay. Cool. So this is about Hitman 3. There was a bit of a controversy over the weekend, because people who are playing Hitman 3 on the PC were concerned, saying like, hey, a thing about the Hitman games is if you own the previous entries in the series, the old missions can be played in the new engine. Like, it's a pretty big deal. Problem is, on the PC, Hitman 3 is Epic Game Store exclusive, and ooh, for a little while, it was looking like people on the PC who wanted to play their Hitman 1 and Hitman 2 missions in Hitman 3 with the new, you know, engine and the, you know, new features and stuff, they were going to have to buy Hitman 1 and Hitman 2 again, effectively, on the Epic Game Store. And people, I would say, rightfully said fuck that. And it's weird because like Epic and IO Interactive quickly came out and said, hey, yeah, this is unacceptable, we're gonna work and try and figure out a way to, you know, make this happen so you don't have to rebuy stuff. Like, that's not cool, that's not fair, we're gonna make this work. So it's unclear what the timetable is. So people who get Hitman 3 on the PC will not have their older missions right away. But at the very least, they are working to fix that so that you don't have to spend a lot of unnecessary money to get there. And that is something, at the very least. Now, knowing that this was a problem coming down the road, I would say maybe you should have had that figured out before you stepped on that rake. Like, you saw that rake coming. It was like right down the road. You could have changed direction anytime you wanted.
You know, there was a press release written up somewhere about like the ideal experience optimized for each platform. Yeah. And no one had the guts to actually pull the trigger on it.
You have to. The ones and zeros that you get from the Epic Game Store, they're just so much more finely tuned to the Hitman 3 experience.
Organic ones and zeros. Yeah. I heard.
Just, I love the idea. Organic, warm, crisp ones and zeros, analog sounding ones and zeros. So at the very least, better late than never. Go ahead.
I'm going to say there's a book called The Three Body Problem that you can make an organic computer by having a bunch of people be the zeros and ones in their different states if you have a sufficiently large enough.
Nobody
people.
Asked you, Ben.
That's a, that's like a real famous Chinese sci-fi, right? Yeah. This is on my reading list. Yeah, that looks badass.
That's how you get organic ones and zeros. That's all. Nice.
Okay. Yeah. Ben, how about you? You got a story?
I do, actually. I didn't post it, but I was just going to talk about the CD Projekt Red thing. I'm bummed of the order of things. I wish we ended on Jell-O.
Oh, because it'd be nice and frivolous.
Yeah, this one's like a downer some more, and I'm just going to complain some more. So okay. I feel like. Whatever. But they released a video that was talking about like why there were problems on the consoles and tried to like justify it a little bit more. But it was kind of like a weak justification. They said basically that they were designing the game for high-end PCs and they were planning on backporting it to current gen consoles. But when they did that, they ran into more problems than they expected, namely with like the streaming system that they have in the game as far as like streaming what's going to be in frame and like what the objects are and stuff like that.
Yeah, resulting in people driving so fast that they fall off the map because it doesn't load quick enough.
And so that was like the explanation they gave, right? You know, and like but yeah, it's just like disappointing because it's like, all right, well, okay, that might be the reason, but that, you know, A, you still knew about it when you released the game. I guess there's also like internal memos that have been released over the last week too, where it's like people internally at the studio said that they needed like at least 2 more years on the game and they wanted to try and release it like in 2022 or something like that.
Right.
But it's like, yeah, so it's like, okay, so even if you had that problem, you still released the game. And like since the last delay they had, was specifically for like addressing portability on different consoles. Like they're obviously aware that there are issues.
This is so like a major leadership and communication problem at the very least.
Yeah. And so it's like the thing that I'm bummed out about is like this video is supposed to be like a complete like justification for like why what happened. But it's not really, it doesn't really explain why they still released the game despite all of that, despite all those issues. And then like it's also like kind of like a double standard where it's like, oh, we're the ones responsible for releasing this. Like the blame should go with us, but it was the streaming system that was bad. You know, it's like, okay, well, those two things are kind of should be put too close together. But
if only you had some kind of control over, you know, all that stuff. Like, wait, guys, you don't understand. It was exactly as bad as you're thinking it is. Why are you still mad?
When you make that face, I'm joking.
So yeah, I don't know. The state hasn't really changed. Like, I would still buy this kit, play this game on a hardware that could run it, but I'm still bummed it was released and
It sparks a thought that I meant to mention, which is I think after the experience I had with Doom on Stadia, if Cyberpunk was on Stadia, I might check it out there, knowing that it would be running on a computer that could handle it.
But now you're streaming on top of streaming.
I saw that, and the thing that came to mind was like, oh, this is a bunch of explanations, or this is a bunch of explanations in like masquerading as excuses, masquerading as not apologies. And I don't know, it's kind of a damned if you do, damned if you don't, because if you don't say anything, then people are like, hey, what the fuck, what's the story? But you kind of can't say something and actually like own it. So you just have to, you end up putting out something that's basically almost worse than nothing or equal to nothing.
Yeah.
You would have to have a lot of honesty in order to put out a statement that would be like, be like, yeah, we needed to make money at this point in time and we couldn't miss the Christmas window. So that's why we released it.
We were
hoping that a day zero patch would fix most of these things, which it didn't.
Right.
Well, honestly, like I would take that. Like, I understand you're a business and I'm still not happy with it, but that is an honest answer. That's not patronizing.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I'd be more receptive to that too,
but that would place the blame where it should be. And we can't have that.
Yeah. No, on the profit motive. Yeah.
Oh, it is. It is on Stadia. Mm-hmm. Well,
I've heard it's a good,
but I have to pay full price for it.
I guess in other updates too, I did check and I saw that the refund came back.
Oh, cool.
The game. Nice. So.
Yeah.
Weird.
Well,
so it's weird, bittersweet feeling. I didn't lose anything except my expectations.
Well, yeah, you know, a little bit of time trying to make a game work that wasn't designed to work on your system. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that seems like a show to me. How do we feel about buttoning it up?
I feel like button.
The credit. I'm gonna watch the Ace Attorney video again after we were. Sorry, I'm on a happy note.
It's very funny. You should do it.
Thank you so much, everybody, for listening to this level 357. We really appreciate it. I'm trying to think of like call to action stuff, but nothing is coming to mind except for the usual things. You know, how to support the show with liking us on Facebook, Patreon, telling your friends, all of that.
Here's a random one for you.
Yeah.
Occasionally we'll have someone drive by and suggest a question idea, and that is welcome and often gets used. So please do.
Yeah. Is Slack the best place to do that?
Slack or any of the socials we're about to mention.
Cool. Yeah. So let's just keep it short. We can do that. I've been Cole Ross. You can watch my streams, on Twitch at Duckfeed TV.
I've been Dennis Furia. You can find me on Instagram at Deck of Wonders.
I'm Jala Chan in all the places. You can hit me up there. I also respond to the Facebook messages for the levels. So if you send them there, I will probably be the one that grabs them first. So.
And I'm Ben Merkel.
And stick around for some titles. Okay, I only have one disappointment desensitization.
Ah. I have four.
Okay.
Sleep rampage. This is my, this next one's my favorite. Does ... sigh. That one is my favorite. I'm voting for that one.
Okay.
Min goes before Max. Okay. And all your baseline.
Okay. Let's see here. Who else has one?
I got two.
Okay.
I got I Want to Fight This Game. And I got caught in a bee's web. But I'm going to throw my vote out for does ... in parentheses sigh.
Okay.
I too had disappointment, desensitization, and I Want to Fight This Game.
Okay.
I also had Back to the Maze with Ye. I had Start Over Where the Fluid Is. And then Organic Ones and Zeros. So I'm a fan of Back to the Maze with Ye, but it was very early on.
Mm-hmm. I like does sigh.
Yeah, I'm not opposed to that.
We don't have another title like that.
No, we don't.
No, that's all original there.
Cool. Well, let's go with that. If there are no issues.
I'm gonna go get my Pokemon excellent. From Jobs and spend the next hour fucking around with it. Talk cool. to you later, guys.
Bye, everybody. Have a good
week. I've unlocked something in Jobs. Maybe it'll make it faster. Performance reviews.
Oh, no. Take care.
See you guys.
Night.
Night.